So real quick, man, I just want to say I did this last service. I'm going to do it again. I feel like it was good. And I just want to tell y'all, man, like that song right there that Connor wrote, the last one there talking about when I was a slave, he came anyway. When I didn't want to go, he came and chased me anyway. And I just want to say that you can run and you can go and you can and get away and try to get away and try to just do what you do on a daily basis and go to your work and wake up and just do all the things that we think that we're called to do and supposed to do. But man, God has a calling on your life. God has something for your life that you can't see. And you may think that right now what you're living is awesome and what you're living is doing and your job is great and your family is awesome and all the things, but I just want to say, man, when I watch her up here singing, Marley, and then when I think that I have to come up here and preach, I just want you to know that we were jacked up, very, very jacked up people before we ever stepped into this calling, and we were still jacked up now, but we're getting better and better by each little day. But I just want to say, man, we're just ordinary people. We're just ordinary people that God has a will on our life and God has a will on your life. And Cody showed me this preacher the other day talking about he'd been a preacher for like 50 years or something. And he said the most frequent question that he got asked was, how do I know the will of God has on my life? How do I know it? He said that was the most thing he got answered. And you know, he said something pretty cool, and I'll just say this. He said it's be like a Polaroid picture. When it comes out of there after you take the picture, it'll just bring you a little bit and a little bit, but you got to decide that you're going to step into it. You got to decide that I'm going to be obedient to God. I'm going to stop living the way that I was living. I'm going to start reading my word. I'm going to start growing my family and being obedient. And little by little, God's going to bless you just for your obedience, and your picture is going to come to life of what you're supposed to do in Christ, and it'll be the best thing that you've ever figured out. And I just want to say that, man, the Lord has plans for you. Today, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk about Pentecost and the way that I found those things and the way that Marley found those things, being just two dumb, jacked up kids, was through the Holy Spirit. Y'all know my story. When I sat on that barn and at that barn on that bucket, the Holy Spirit spoke to me. How did I know He spoke to me? Because I had been obedient to God, because He'd been revealing the picture to me a little bit. Day by day, I didn't really understand it. And that day when He told me, I felt like the Holy Spirit told me, hey, go get your wife and I'll use you as a unit for Christ. That was 3 years ago. I look up here 3 years ago. We didn't know what that meant. I didn't know what a unit for Christ meant. I didn't know that I was going to be a preacher. A lot of people didn't know that. And she gets up here last night before we go to sleep. She's like, I just don't know if I just sound so country. And I said, who gives a crap? KG's awesome and she's so city. Darren is city and he's awesome. We're all different in the kingdom of God. It's the same body, different members reaching for the same goal, right? So I just say that the reason that I knew and the reason that I heard from the Lord is because I became obedient to God, and I knew when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me, and I decided that day, the Holy Spirit's speaking to me, I'm going to go, I'm going to pick up my cross, I'm going to quit being a titty baby, and I'm going to go get my wife, and I'm going to forgive her, and now the life that we're living is something that we could have never imagined, and the same life is for you out in front of you if you'll tap into the Holy Spirit. So that wasn't even in the notes, but good morning. Welcome. Y'all welcome our online people real quick. So today, man, we're going to talk about a huge moment. We're still in moments. Somebody shout moments. Moments. We're in big moments. Today, big moment. Big moment. The Holy Spirit falls. But before I get there, I want to go back a chapter and kind of get you going on where we're headed. Jesus has appeared to His disciples over a 40-day period. Jesus has spent 40 days teaching them and talking to them about the kingdom of God. And then we're going to be in Acts chapter 1, verse 6 through 11. This is Luke writing Acts. He's sending us this letter to his friend Theophilus. And he says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when He was taken up after He had given command through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom He had chosen. He presented Himself alive to them after His suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, He ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which He said, you heard from Me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Verse 6, so when they had come together, they asked Him, Lord, will You at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? They wanted to know what the Lord was going to do. This next verse is for all of you and for sure me. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by His own authority, but you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be My witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up into a cloud. The cloud lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven, behold, two men stood by them wearing white robes. And he said, they said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus that was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. So, Father God, I thank you for this church. I thank you for this day. I thank you for the word of God. I thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that it empowers us, that it speaks to us, that this is our sanctification, God, that it is our intercessor, Lord. I thank you for that, and I thank you, Lord, not asking you to come here, but, Lord, I thank you for the Holy Spirit being here already this morning during this worship and during this sermon, God. I pray that the lives and the hearts in here that are here today, the mothers and the fathers and the grandfathers and the children, Lord, I pray that their hearts be opened up, that their hearts be touched by the Holy Spirit, that they would realize and see how powerful it is and how good it is, Lord, and that you would speak to us. Move me out of the way. Take my words away and put your words in. In Jesus' name I pray. And everybody said, amen. So he promises them what? He promises them the Holy Spirit, right? They returned to Jerusalem as they were instructed. They listened to God. And then the disciples, the word says the disciples and the mother of Jesus and his brothers and his others who followed him was about 120 people. There was about 120 people up in the upper room, it said. In verse 14, it says they were devoting themselves to prayer together. They were devoting themselves to prayer together. How many of you know there's power in praying together? There's power in praying together. The word says in Matthew, where two or more are gathered, I'm in their midst. God is there when we pray together. In our home, it's a serious deal. We really believe in the power of prayer. We believe in it. Man, me and Hayes were just standing over here a while ago, and he wanted me to pick him up, and I just said, hey, pray for me real quick. And he goes, Lord, please let Dad not be scared. Amen. Just a simple prayer, right? I mean, I ain't scared of y'all right now. It works, power in prayer. But, like, we just try to do it all the time. When we're at the ranch driving around, I may just bust out in prayer. Me and Hayes is the only two in the truck. Lord, thank you for this day. Lord, thank you for these cows. Thank you for this grass. Thank you for the water, the rain. And, Lord, thank you for these two good horses we're getting to ride. Lord, just thank you, thank you, thank you. And before I get done, he's usually like, amen. I'm like, hey, man, I wasn't done yet. He's like, amen. But then at night, man, we go in there. Me and Marley, we try to stay grounded. We go in there in their bed, and Holden always wants Marley to hold him. I don't know why, but anyway, she gets to hold Holden, and I get Wiry Hayes, and I try to get him still. And I realize you got to realize where your kids are. You got to have discernment of where your children are in their lives. We realize that if we pray a big, long, detailed prayer, that they're going to hate prayer, that they're not going to want to pray anymore, that it's going to be too much, and they're just going to be like, oh, God, my parents are going to pray again. So we just have these short prayers, and they go like this. Lord, thank you for these boys. Thank you for letting us be their parents. I pray that you give them a heart for you and a desire for you at a young age, Lord. I pray that the word of God would come alive to them and that they would seek you out every day of their lives and be with them tonight when they have uninterrupted sleep. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Simple prayers. And then like last night, we lay down. Marley, she's worried about her country voice. So, man, before I go to sleep, I think, you know what? I'm just going to reach over, and I grabbed her hand, and I said, Lord, I didn't even have to talk. The Lord hears your prayers, whether you're speaking or not speaking. I'm holding her hand in bed, and I said, Lord, just be with Marley. Let her just have some passion. Let her have some drive in her heart, and let her know that God's called her to sing, and God has used her and transformed her, and she's going to sing and create, hopefully, something in somebody's heart tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. And then I squeeze one, two, three. It means I love you, and then she does four back. I love you. Pause. More. It's just what we do. It's power in prayer. It's simple. It's something to do, but the Lord loves it, and you need to love it, and you need to be doing it. So Jesus leaves. He leaves on day 40. 10 days have gone by. This brings us to Pentecost. This brings us to our big moment, the reason that we're here today, 50 days after the resurrection. Acts chapter 2, 1 through 4, the big moment. When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. The main thing that I want you to see right here is verse 3. It says it rested on each one of them. Each one of them who believed in God, each one of them who followed Christ, each one of them who saw God work in their life, each one of them who believed that the Holy Spirit was going to come, each one of them that believed the power, man, each one of them received it. Just think of the confidence, the game changer when it finally came. The same Spirit that fell on them is the same Spirit that's on you and me today if we've been born again. It's the same Spirit that's inside of you. It's the same Spirit that's on you. It's the same Spirit that heals you. It's the same Spirit that speaks to you. It's the same Spirit that we get to go to. This is why Jesus left, so that he could be everywhere at one time. If we believe, if we repent, and if we surrender and we've been baptized, we've received the same gift. Because of this day, man, this big moment, we have power. You and I have power. We have power in a jacked up world to raise kids up in a messed up world. We have power to go to our job and have a good attitude. We have power to go to our job and spread the gospel. We have power to go here and go there and treat people the way that God and Jesus, the way that Jesus treated people as he walked on this earth. We have the power, no matter how our minds and how our flesh want to act, we have the Holy Spirit power to go there and to be Christ-like. Can you imagine 10 days? 10 days praying in this upper room, 120 people, probably a little tight. Probably some people getting a little down. Some people probably like, man, it ain't, I don't know if it's coming. I don't know. This is crazy. It's not working. Then there's guys like, come on, dude, get up. Yeah, it's coming. Believe, man. Where's your faith? Let's go. And all the emotions and all the things. And then I just think about the people that were walking by like, hey, there's the Jesus freaks are still in there waiting on a miracle. You know, all this stuff, like their guy's dead, their guy's gone, whatever that looks like. But how many of you know when that thing came in the boom, the rushing wind and the fire falling, don't you know the ones that had lost a little bit of hope are like, woo, it's here. I'm glad we prayed. I'm glad we fasted. I'm glad we stuck together. I'm glad we lifted each other up because now they're filled with the Holy Spirit. Things were happening. It says fire was falling, and how many of you know fire is powerful? Fire is powerful. Fire does things. And I told them this in the first service. I don't know about y'all. I know a few of you. I'm looking at a couple of them out here. But my whole life, I've loved the feeling of you can't come back. So like when I rode Saddle Bronx, I would get in there and get screwed down and I would nod. And as soon as that gate opens, you can't jump off and go back to daddy. And you can't bail out and get killed off right there as he's coming out. You got to go. You're at least going to go with one jump out here to the left, no matter what. And I love that feeling. I love that feeling of like, I'm in. I can't go back. The other day, me and my dad down here, we were burning brush piles. And I just love the feeling of 30 minutes I'm out here. I'm climbing on top of this thing, pouring gas on it everywhere. And I'm thinking, man, this thing will be good right here. This thing is about to blow up. And then we spend all the time putting the gas on it, build us a trail out here, do all the stuff. Both of us are giggling, having fun. It's all over my hands. It's all over my pants. It's a little sketchy, right? But when I light that match, I'm thinking, I watch it for a second. I'm like, well, things are about to change. Wood's about to come to ash. Things are about to get hot. Something's about to be really loud. It's going to be cool, right? And then you chuck it, you take off running. I was giggling at Reggie. He's about 58, 68 years old. Can't ever remember his age. He's running from that fire, man. If it blew up, there was no way he was getting away from it. But it was so funny. I even videoed it. But, man, there's something about it. When that flame hits that gas, you ain't taking it back. You can't get it back. You can't say, crap, it's too dry. Crap, I shouldn't have done that. Crap. No, it's lit. It's happening. And I feel like this is where Peter was. When this stuff happened and this hit Peter, man, Peter was triggered. Peter was filled up. Peter was full of confidence. And I'll just say, when we lived in Borger, at the Sixes at Borger and in the Panhandle, the plains, tall grass, the wind blew every day. And there was a fire every day, it seemed like. And when I went up there, the manager sent me to fire school, and I remember getting really aggravated, thinking, man, I come up here to be a cowboy. I didn't come up here to be no firefighter. Well, it didn't take me very long to realize that the importance of going to fire school, because every day there was a fire. And so I go to this fire school, and I start getting into this thing, and I start coming home. I'm telling Marty, like, hey, look, I think I might go be a lineman. We're going to move to Montana where them big fires are, and I can work with a 7-man crew or something, get that old fire killed out, work, be in shape, all the stuff, hang out, sleep out in the mountains. I thought I was going to be a firefighter for a minute. But one thing I learned there in those fires up there in Border, you can have 5,000 acres burning, and off out in the middle of that fire is something you can't see. The fire is creating its own energy. The fire is building its own weather. The fire is moving faster off in there than it is out here. But out here in the fire trucks, you can't see what's happening in there. And there's these things called fire whirls, and they start happening in there, and things will shoot out of the side of them flanks of those fires and will engulf everything and begin new fires. And it's dangerous, and it's real, and they're moving at 70 miles an hour. But from the fire truck, you can't see all that. You just see a fire moving across the country. But how many of you know that the choppers up there that are speaking and talking to the ones that are down on the ground, they can see everything that's happening. And they're up there telling them what's going on inside. And they're down here, they're telling us where we need to be and where we need to go. And that's how come we needed to go to fire school, so that we could listen to instruction, so that we could spend a little time in fire school to know what they were talking about when they were telling us to roll out and do this and go here and go there. It's the same way with our Word of God. We got to get in it Because how many of you know, when we start stepping in a new life and Marley started changing and I started changing, a lot of people were in the fire truck out on the side wondering what the heck is wrong with them two. I don't understand what's going on. He won't come hang out with us no more. He won't come get drunk with us no more. He won't do all the things. They're looking and they don't understand, but they can't see what God's doing inside of you. And it doesn't matter, because your eternal salvation has nothing to do on what they want to label you on and what they want to talk about and what they want to say. But the one above knows and can see exactly what he's doing inside of your heart. He can see the fire that he started. He can see the fire that's burning and building and going places. And he knows, and he can speak to you because you're in the Word, because you've been to the fire school and you're going out and doing what God has called you to do. Some of you need to activate your inner fire. Like, wake up and put some fire in your guts. Put some fire in your bones. Get the Bible out. Build it. Stick your chest out. Roll on. And then some of us need to reactivate it. Some of us in here have been saved a long time. Some of us have been searching and seeking the Lord for a long time. Or you may have got saved yesterday, whatever that looks like in your life, but then you get to this place where you quit studying and you quit reading and you quit growing and you quit serving in the church and you quit serving your wife and you quit trying to be a better husband, you quit trying to be a better mother, and you just get stale and stagnant and you've never picked up your Bible and you wonder why the fire's gone. We got to reactivate the fire. Get some fire in you. Get something going. Believe that when you get the fire going, God's got things for you to go do. He's going to use you, and it's going to look better than what you think you got going on now. So I feel like, again, Peter was triggered. He was triggered with confidence. He had a deeper belief inside of him. It was lit. There was no going back. He was like, man, I'm going to be the first guy to preach a sermon after Jesus has ascended. He said, I'm going to give it to him. I'm going to give it all I got. I know that he sent me. I know that he's filled me up with the fire. I'm going to preach. And it says, the first thing he says in his sermon, y'all can go read it on your own time, but it says he stood up amongst them and says, men of Judea. And I don't think that he was like, men of Judea. I think he was filled up. Man, I think he was on fire, and he was like, men of Judea, y'all pay attention. Y'all look at this. And he gave them a shot of the gospel, a big, powerful shot of it, and he talked to them, and he lit them up, and he gave them some fire. He gave them some drive, like Cody does every Sunday and day in and day out for us. He gave them some fire. He was one man doing what God had given him to do, Acts 2:37 through 41. These verses are after he preached. These are the people talking back to him. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, you need to repent and you need to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, and the promise is for your children, and the promise is for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord God calls to himself. Verse 40, and with many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. So those who received the word that day were baptized, and there was added that day about 3,000 souls. That ought to fire you up a little bit. 3,000 people. Can you imagine 3,000 people getting saved? 3,000 people got saved that day. 120 got the power of the Holy Spirit. Then 3,000 people got saved. One man, one ordinary guy, preached a sermon. One sermon, one day, 3,000 people whose destination was hell got saved that day. All they had to do was make a decision. They made a decision that day. They asked for forgiveness that day. They got saved that day. They received the gift that day. Connor, if you'll come, we'll start the close deal, please. But what a day to imagine. If you continue reading, it talks about how they broke bread. It talks about how they hung out. It talks about how they came together and they just begin to sharpen each other up. And then you can just imagine the happy tears and the tears of joy of getting away from the things that they needed to get away from and all the stuff that was going on. It was cool. It's something to imagine. It's something to go read about and study and see in your mind. And this closing is going to look a little bit different if Connor would ever come up here and do his job. But, man, I'm just telling you, it was cool. It was a big day, and it's what we're living for, and it's the power of the Holy Spirit. And I just want to be real with you guys this morning. I just encourage you to bow your heads right now and think about where you're at. And don't get caught up in this looks different and this is a different ending and all the things. Just roll with it right here. Just get to a place in your mind where you're not thinking about today, you're not thinking about tomorrow and the things to come, but just right now in your life. And I just want to ask you, are you saved? And if you are saved, to the saved people in this room, are you using the gift of the Holy Spirit? Are you using it on a daily basis? It is a gift. When someone gives you a gift, you use the gift. You take care of the gift. You cherish the gift. You don't give the gift away. You don't set the gift back. Well, you might if it's no good, but this is a good gift. But do you know who he is? Do you know who the Spirit is? He's our helper. He's our comforter. He's our teacher. He's our convictor. He's our guider. He's our giver. He's our seal of salvation. He's our intercessor and our sanctifier. The gift is for you, but it's also for your children. And it's also for those that you're living around, that you're working around, that are far off. There's importance in you using the gift. There's importance in you packing the gift to work. There's importance in you taking it everywhere you go, knowing that the Spirit is there to convict you, to lead you, and to guide you. So you're not talking the way they're talking. You're not speaking the way they're speaking. You're not acting the way they're acting, but you're loving on them. Like Cody talked about last week, go get amongst them, but don't be a part of it. Don't be better than, don't be all those things, but man, just go be who the Holy Spirit has called you to be, who God has set you in motion to be. It's for you and for your children. It's important. It's real. It's life. It's death. Are we using the gift? The Bible says, ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door will open. Romans 10:9, confess with your mouth, believe in your heart that he rose from the dead and you'll be saved. Now to you that are on the fence, man. To you that are having trouble staying committed like I was. To all the Coles out there, I remember thinking, I know how I'm living ain't right. I know God don't like this. I know my mother raised me different. I remember thinking, I like this life. I like being a little bit rowdy. I like being a little bit edgy. I like being a little bit gamey. I don't know if I really want to get rid of this. This is pretty good. I kind of like this. But the Lord wants you to know and wants you to understand that if you think that's good, man, you ain't seen nothing yet. You haven't seen anything yet, because the things that hold us captive and the things that hold us back from the biggest lie of the enemy, and that's the one of saying, man, I'll get right one day. I'll quit drinking one day. I know it's hurting my family now, but I'll fix it later. Those lies from the enemy are keeping you from everything that the Bible promises to prosper you, not harm you, things you can't see. To you single people, it's keeping you from your spouse down the road. Have some vision, have some life, give it all to God, be obedient to God, and the picture, the Polaroid will start coming to life in your life. You'll start seeing where he wants you to go. You'll start seeing who he wants you to be around, who he wants you to marry, how he wants you to raise your kids, how to treat your spouse, how to love on your spouse, how to change this, how to change that, how to take this job or that job. It's for us. It's the help. We go day by day just on our own flesh, men mainly, but some of you hard-headed women. We go off little sleep, and we go off our strength, and we go off our power. And we get tired and we get wore out and we make all the decisions without the Lord, and we never stop and we never pray and we never ask and we never ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and to speak to us and to guide us, to show us what we need to do. To you that feel like there's no fix, man, you've messed it up, you feel like you've gone too far, you've went too deep. That's a lie from the enemy. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We're all going to continue to mess up, but we got to keep coming back and being obedient. So stop letting those things that you've done in your past, stop letting those things be in your life. God is not worried about your Saul days. He's worried about your Paul days. He's worried about what you've done after you've accepted Christ, after you said that it's not I who live, but Christ who lives inside of me. He's worried about where he's going to take you. He wants to give you a little bit at a time. Cody talked about it last week. He'll give you a little to see what you can do with a lot. Take the little you got and go and run and trust and build and take your time and do what you're supposed to do every day. Never get tired in doing good, the word says. Just do good. But you and I can't do good when we're so worried about what we've done in the past. That's where the enemy wants to keep us. He wants us to keep thinking about that. He wants us to keep staying in that, to keep wallowing in it like a nasty dog on a dead animal. Shake it off. Pick it up. When David fell to Bathsheba, and the son died, and he had Uriah killed. He said, you know what? I'm taking these dirty clothes off. I'm taking a bath. I'm anointing myself, and I'm going to go eat. I'm moving forward. I'm forgetting the past, and I'm moving forward. And the Word of God says that he loved him. Leave it behind. He has the gift and he has it ready to give it to us. He had this in mind when he formed you in your mother's womb. He's known some of you for a long time. He had it created. He had it in his image. He was ready. He's ready now. He wants a relationship with you. He wants you to build something with him. We spend so much time building with the world, and we spend so much time building with the bosses and the people that can raise us up and make us look good in the world, but we balk at spending time with God. And I hope somebody in here today, I hope you're like these guys that Peter was preaching to. They're like, what do we do? What do we do? They come from all spectrums. And I'll just tell you like Peter told them. And Peter said to them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift to the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. It ain't just for you. It's for the kids you're around. It's for the kids you're raising. It's for the men and women you're around, man. It's important. It's serious. I believe there's two types of people in this room today. I believe there's two types. There's a type of people in here that maybe you've been saved for a long time. Maybe you got saved a long time ago, but man, you're wore out, you're wore down. You need to be refilled with the Holy Spirit. Like Cody talks about the lamps that gotta be refilled. They're gonna run out of oil and the flame will go out. Stop somewhere, refill your flame, refuel. Refuel so you're not stuck on the side of the road. Refuel so you can go forward. And then there's the kind in here, a few people in here that maybe need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the first time. Maybe you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. Maybe you're stuck. Maybe you're like I was. And in your life outside of Sunday, over here on the left is this group of people that are wild and fun, and you're really not doing all this bad. It's not really that bad, but it really ain't for the Lord. And you know in your gut discernment that it's not what you're supposed to be doing. And then over here on Sunday, you have this group of people that you love being with, that build you up and they give you fire. And you're like, man, I love hanging out with these guys. I feel good when I'm here. But then as the week goes by, there's more weekdays than there is Sunday. And so we fall back into that trap, and we fall back into the enemy, and we fall back into that old crowd. And next thing you know, day after day and year after year and month after month, we never make the decision to stay with the ones that we stay with on Sunday. That's where the enemy wants you. He doesn't want you to go all in. He doesn't want you to say yes. He doesn't want you to ask Christ into your life. He doesn't want you to be saved, and he's not in a hurry, as long as he gets you in the end. So I'm just going to challenge you. I'm going to challenge you today. If you're either one of those people, if you've been saved for a while and you need to be filled back up, or if you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit for the very first time in your life and you've never asked Christ in your heart, I'm going to just ask you, I challenge you to stand up. Stand up where you are. Just stand up if you need to be refilled. Stand up if you need it for the first time. Man, Monday through Saturday, you're just carrying your own weight. You're just carrying your own flesh. It's wearing you the heck out. There's power. There's power that can come inside of you, power that will ride with you, that will go with you and fight for you and speak to you. So, Lord, I thank you for today. I thank you for these people that have stood up, God. I pray that you would just put a fire inside of them that they haven't felt before, Lord. I pray that the fire would go from this day when they walk out of those doors, that it would be something that they've never experienced. God, that they would pick their Bible up this week in a different way. I pray that you would speak through them through the word of God, Lord. You say that it's living. You say that it's active and sharper than any two-edged sword. I pray that they would have some confidence to go where you send them, Lord. Like a whirl outside of one of those big panhandle fires, I pray that you send them out. That you would send them out in boldness as the word's supposed to be portrayed, God. I pray that you would give them everything that they need and all the tools and all the people. And the Lord, to the ones that are struggling with staying with these guys during the week, but then wanting to be with these guys on Sunday, I pray you just give them strength to say no, to just step away, to let things change, God, because let them see, give them a glimpse of their picture. Give them a glimpse of their Polaroid so that they can go and find what you have for them. Plans to prosper them, not plans to harm them, but plans to give them a future and a hope. God, build them up. Put some fire inside of them. Let's stop walking around with our shoulders down and our back. God, stick their chest. chest out. Give them some confidence and know that if everybody else don't like us, and if they're sitting in the fire truck and they don't understand what's happening, it don't matter, because the one above knows what's going on inside of us, and that's all that should matter. I'm going to send another challenge out. This is a real deal. I talked about it last week. A lot of us are bold enough to say yes, and I don't want to go to hell and all the things. And we walk this life out for a while, and then we fall back off the wagon. If you stood up today for the very first time and asked Christ into your life, I would ask you to come to the front. If today's the first day you've asked Him to come into your life and the Holy Spirit filled you, come to the front. That's good. We're all saved. We're all good. So as we close this out with this last song, take the fire, let it fan you. And those of you that didn't stand up because you're a little bit nervous, hey, it's okay. Fan the fire. Let it go. Take it with you out those doors. Don't let it just stay in this room. Take it with you. Pack it with you. Ask Him daily, Lord, refill me. God, give me what I need to get through this job. Give me what I need to raise these kids up. Give me what I need to be her husband, to be His wife. Take it with you. Let it speak to you through this song. Y'all stand up. Let's worship.